You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete. Understanding that God has loved us with a selfless love is the starting point of our becoming a blessing to others. Dig deeper into this topic in this message from our new series, Selfless.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Please shake the hand of the person beside you for a while. Okay, today we are down to the last installment of our series called Selfless. May I see a show of hands for a while? Who may have joined us the past three Sundays, including this Sunday? Come on. I believe we've covered a lot of things when it comes to relationship. We've talked about marriage, we've talked about sex last week, and we're basically looking at the book of Ephesians. And this morning, we're going to land this series by looking at the last one, and we're going to talk about compassion or love for others, okay? When we are seated beside someone who is loving. Okay, very good. You know, this is not going to be a lengthy preaching. A funny thing happened to me last Thursday. When we hear, sometimes during the week, funny things happen to you. You know, some crazy things that you don't want to share to other people. But anyway, I'm sharing this morning. You know, a funny thing happened to me last Thursday. I don't know with you, but maybe for me personally, when we have stuff that is for personal hygiene, it is something that is private or personal, right? When you talk about your toothbrush, your toothpaste, you don't just flaunt it on Facebook, hey, I just bought a new toothbrush or something like that. But anyway, last Thursday, I was rushing to Robinson's. I went to the department store. So I found this sales lady right there. I told her, Miss, saan yung deodorant? So I asked her, sorry for our foreigner friends here. Okay, let me translate that to you. Miss, where's the deodorant section? You know, she stared at me for like a second or two. And here's what she told me. Pastor Archie? I was like, okay. I tell you what, I was like, oh, so you attend Victory? She said, yes, I attend the 7 p.m. service. You know what's running in my mind? I was like thinking, every Sunday I'll be here and she knows what my deodorant is. When she told me where the rack is, I went there. I really want to grab one and go back to her and tell her, do you think this is good for Tom or Mav? You know, there are things in our lives that is meant to be public and there are things in our lives that are meant to be private. Let me just tee off from that one. If there's just basically something that shouldn't remain private in our lives, it has to be our faith, all right? And that is basically what we're going to talk about here this morning. We're not going to talk about deodorants, but we're going to talk about the translation of our love and faith, okay? God's love for us and how it translates to other people. Let me just start this off by saying that the validity of our Christian faith is seen in our compassion and love for others, expressed through good works. So you kind of get an idea this morning. We're going to talk about good works. We're going to talk about compassion. And later, I'm going to show you some photos or pictures. That's why this is not like an ordinary Sunday for us. I'm going to show you some photos of what we have been doing as a ministry and how you can be part of what we're doing as a church if you consider Victory Dumaguete as your church. Okay? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. It says here, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Then in verse 7 it says here, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved. Favorite verse for some of you. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Okay, here's what we're going to do here this morning. I would rather assume that the verses that we've just read are familiar to everyone. Okay, if you're here and you've been through one-to-one, you know, that's one of the first few verses that you've encountered, right? When I became a Christian, that's basically the first few verses that were basically shared to me. Okay, we all know that we are here by God's grace, amen? And when we are thankful that God is merciful to you. And the Bible says his mercies are new every morning, amen? And we all know for a fact that we have been saved by grace through faith. And we also know that this is not because of our skills, abilities. It is not because of your good looks. It is simply a gift from God. Okay, something that we do not deserve. We all know that. So here's what we're going to do here this afternoon. We're going to divide the verses that we've just read into two sections. Okay, the first section covers verses 4 to 9, which covers 6 verses. There's no theological reason for that. I'm just dividing that this morning for the sake of our discussion, okay? We're going to look at the first 6 verses as the first section. Okay, after that, we're going to look at the last verse, which is verse 10, okay, as the second section of what we're going to look into here this morning. I do understand we have 6 verses for section 1, but just 1 verse for section 2. But much of our time will revolve around the second section. Okay, basically, we will come on the second section. Now, let me just briefly talk about the first section for verses 4 down to verse 9. Okay, what is it about? If you look at verses 4 down to verse 9, what is it about? Can we just read it for a while? Verses 4 to 9. It says here, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us," right? "Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." See, if you look at verses 4 to 9, these 6 verses right here, basically is what we call good news, okay? It's basically what we call good news. In what sense? If you're here and you love preaching the gospel to your friends, to your relatives, these verses are good ones to start with. Okay, you can start with these verses right here. Now, why did I say that the good news is encapsulated in these verses? Okay, why did I say that? Simply because in these 6 verses alone, the words mercy, love, and grace are basically seen. All right? In these 6 verses alone, words like mercy, love, and grace can actually be read in these 6 verses. Okay, in verse 4, it says there, God is rich in mercy. Who am I thankful that God is rich in mercy? Okay, I don't know with you, but up until this day, I am always thankful that God is a merciful God. All right, I remember what Pastor Jurey said. He once said that we have to be glad that God doesn't have a good mood and a bad mood. You folks catch that? You don't wake up and come to God, "Lord, please forgive me." Tapos bad trip si Lord, bad mood si Lord, hindi kita i-forgive. He's just consistent with who He is. And Bible says He is a merciful God. So in verse 4, it says that God is rich in mercy. Not just that, in verse 4 as well, it also talks about what? God's great love. It also talks about God's great love. In verse 7, it talks about the riches of His grace. So imagine this with me for a while. The very 3 words that basically allowed us to have the confidence to come before the presence of God are basically encapsulated here. He's merciful, He's loving, and not just that, He's also gracious. Okay, it's basically encapsulated in these verses right here. Let me just talk about God's love for a while, very quickly. I want us to understand that God has 2 kinds of attributes. Okay, first one is His intrinsic attributes. The second one is His relative attributes. When you say intrinsic attribute, you're talking about who He is. Okay, apart from anyone who is God, that is basically His intrinsic attributes. Now, when this attribute of Him gets to be translated to us, to you and to me, that becomes a relative attitude. Meaning, say, it's relational now. Okay, for example, one of His attributes is He is love. Look at this one. I want you to catch this. The Bible doesn't say God is loving, though we know He is loving. But the reason why He is loving is because God is love. All right? You folks catch that? So you don't open your eyes in the morning thinking the Lord is a loving God. Guess what? That is just His love translated to you because He Himself, His intrinsic attribute is that He is love. Okay? That's why we have the confidence to come before His very presence. This is basically a gospel in miniature. Okay? Now, that intrinsic value of Him being love, when that gets to be translated to us, it becomes a relative attribute. Meaning to say, that love is translated into what? Mercy and grace. You folks know what mercy is. Okay, God is merciful. Why? Because He wouldn't give us what we deserve. Look at the person beside you for a while. What do you think that person deserves? That person deserves what? We are all sinners here. We all deserve punishment. All right? We all deserve God's wrath. Meaning to say, we're supposed to be the one who was in the place of Jesus Christ on the cross. So God's mercy, okay, gives us a picture that He withholds what we deserve, okay, which is punishment for our sinfulness. Now, grace, on the other hand, is different. When you talk about grace, He gives us what we do not deserve. You folks catch that? Now He starts giving us what we do not deserve. Good life, salvation. Every spiritual blessing under heaven, according to the Bible, can actually be claimed by a believer. Now you're talking about mercy and grace, and that is basically what? A translation of His intrinsic attribute towards His people. You know, when Paul was writing this, he actually had Lazarus in mind. You folks know who Lazarus is. Lazarus was the man who was raised from the dead. And if there's basically one picture that happened to Lazarus that we could all relate to as Christians, it is this one. Lazarus had a transformation. Okay, he had a transformation from wearing grave clothes to grace clothes. Okay? Meaning to say, he was dead. God raised him up. And that is basically our picture. We are dead in our transgression. We are dead in our sin. Even if you don't want to sin, you end up sinning. Why? Because that's our very nature. But thank God for His cross 2,000 years ago. That the moment we put our faith in Him on His finished work, we are given a grace clothes. Now, every single day of our lives is basically a testimony of His grace in us. That is basically the picture of verses 4 to 9 here. Now, as we go into the second section, here's what I want us to understand, okay? If you're here and you consider yourself a Christian, this is something that you have to understand. Verse 10 is basically a result of verses 4 to 9. Meaning to say, if you start reading these verses right here, if you love studying your Bible, you love reading your Bible, you don't end in verse 9, okay? If you end in verse 9, I want you to understand that God has something for you in verse 10. Okay, here's what verse 10 says. For we are His workmanship. Can everybody say that with me before? Workmanship. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Okay? Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, if the first section of the verses that we've just read talks about the good news, second section talks about the good works. Now, some of you here have been a Christian for the longest time. I do understand some of you are allergic to the word good works. In Christian circles, whenever we say good works, we start closing our ears. But I want us to understand what these good works are. Okay, what these good works are that we're going to cover here this morning. The Bible speaks of so many things about works, just for us to understand this. Okay, first one, there are the works of the law, which cannot save, found in Galatians chapter 2, 16 and chapter 3, verse 11. Another works that the Bible teaches us are the works of the flesh. There are the works of the flesh which cannot save. Okay? Now, another works that the Bible talks about are the works of darkness. The works of darkness, Romans chapter 13, verse 12, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. There are also what we call the dead works. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, which are the works that lead to death, simply because we know that the wages of sin is death. Right? There are also the works of righteousness in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, referring to what? Religious works or other good deeds that sinners try to practice as a means of salvation. I want you to understand this. These kinds of works that we've just talked about are not the works that we're talking about here this morning. This is not about the works of darkness, the works of the flesh. This is a different kind of work. And we call this good work. Tell the person beside you for a while, good work. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, for we are His workmanship. For we are His workmanship, You know, the word good works here basically refer to what? To us having the Spirit of God. What Paul basically is saying here, now that you are a Christian, now that you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, it should be automatic that your works are good works. Meaning to say, your works are the works of the Spirit. Now let me try to explain this for a while and make this practical for us. Let's try to make this practical for all of us for a while. I want us to understand this by looking at three things in this second section right here. First one is workmanship. Second is the words prepared beforehand. And third one is walk in them. Let's start with the first one, okay, for us to understand this. Let's talk about workmanship for a while. When we say workmanship, the word here is coming from the Greek word poema, okay, where we derive the word poem, okay? And contrary to how we understand poem now, poem simply means that which is made or a manufactured product. I want you to understand this. Workmanship there simply means a manufactured product. So how does that relate to us? Okay, Victory Dumaguete congregation now, this morning. In what sense are we God's workmanship? I want us to understand this. First things first, verses 4 to 9 gives us a picture that God did a great job in you. God did a great job in you. He did a great work in you. It was hard work for him to go to the cross. Okay? Now, it's something like this. You are like a finished product, but as a finished product, you have a purpose. So it's something like this. Come here, you love collecting cell phones. Let's look at this cell phone right here, this iPhone. Okay? So that is unboxed. Can everybody say that to me before? Unboxed. Unboxed. So meaning to say, when you say unboxed, the plastic wrapper is still there, everything is still intact, there's no fingerprint or mark or whatever. So I want us to understand, to a certain degree, we are like this iPhone 7 right here. Okay? God did a great job in us, Apple company, okay? Did a great job in creating iPhone 7. Now it's out on the market, but guess what? This phone right here will never fully realize its potential unless it lands on someone's hand. Another picture here are these medicines right here. Pharmaceutical companies out there will invest a great amount of work, great amount of money to basically manufacture different kinds of medicines. Now look at this one. If that medicines right there remain shelved for the longest time, eventually they'll basically expire. They have all the potential, but at the end of it, they're going to be good as nothing. You folks catch that? What is my point? If you call yourself a Christian, you wouldn't allow yourself to be just shelved out there for the longest time. There is a big reason, there is a big purpose why God saved you. And he says here in Ephesians chapter 2 that he did all of these things so that you can be his workmanship. Let me try to explain this by quoting 1 Corinthians for a while. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. You know, I love this verse. Okay, before we go there, let's play a little game for a while. Okay? I'm going to ask you some stuff. And I want us to be honest here. This is not by faith, okay? I want us to be honest here. If I ask you who among you are good with singing, I want you to just humbly lift your hand. Okay? Not by faith, okay? The real you right now. Not your prayer request. Okay? I just want to know. This is what we're going to talk about here. Look, who am I here has a green thumb? Meaning to say, you're good with orchids, you're good with flowers, you're good with plants, you're good with farming. Come on, it's okay. I want to see your hands. Just lift your hand for a while. There they are. Okay, I am po. Who else? Okay, we have two here. We have one there. Who else? Okay. Because the truth is, there are really people, that when they touch plants, the plants die. Right? I also know of some people who would really talk to plants. It's like, why are you talking to that plant? Because the plant is a living organism. Okay, but does it talk back or what? The plants, they need my breath. It's like, wow, okay. But seriously, you know, there's a little degree of truth to that because of the carbon dioxide. But anyway, who among you here are good with history? You love world history. Come on. You love history. Okay, you're good with world history. Okay, there they are. Okay, there they are. Okay, marami. A lot of you here love history. Okay, who among you here, you have a knack for business. You just know that you are entrepreneurial. You're real entrepreneurial. Come on. All right, who else? Come on now. Very good, very good. Okay, very good. Dapat din nyo kinakaya yan. So pag i-raise nyo, yung proud naman kayo kasi gift ni God sa inyo yan. Diba? Basta hindi by faith, ha? Now, who among here has a nice voice? You can say that you have a nice voice. Oh, come on. You have a nice voice. Come on. Who else? People at the back? Anyone who has a nice voice? Okay, there they are. Okay, very good, very good. Okay, very good. Nuts right here. Okay. Okay, who else? Who has a nice voice? Okay, very good. Okay. Now, who among here are creative or you are artsy? All right? You love paperwork. You're just a creative guy. Come on, just lift your hands, okay? Okay, very good. Now, it doesn't mean just because you're creative, you're weird. You're not weird. Right? So, forget about what people tell about you. You're not weird. Okay, you're just creative. All right? Anyone else who's creative here? You love painting. You have your artistic side in a very dominant level. Anyone? Okay, very good. Bakit kinakukurutan? Anyone here is good with computers? You're good with computers, you know? Of course, you know, the man in black at the back, okay? Okay, anyone here who's good with public speaking? You love public speaking. Come on, huh? You love public speaking? Come on. All right. Who's good with sports? Okay, you're good with sports. You love sports. Come on. I really want to know, who am I? You love sports. Can I see your hand? Okay. Yeah, just lift your hands for a while. Okay, para alam ko naman sino yung mga kausap ko minsan. Okay, very good. Okay. You know that Cousins was traded? All right, very good. Okay. Who of you are a good cook? Anyone? Okay, and sino pa? Sino pa yung masarap magluto? Yung masarap magluto. Okay. Kasi di ba merong iba na pag nagluto ng sinigang, lasang tinola. Anyone here is good with grammar? You're good with grammar. Okay, very good. If you're good with grammar, you will not thrive on Facebook. Okay? There's just so many things that will give you a heartache. Anyone here is good with theology? You're good with theology. Okay, I preach here every single Sunday and you keep thinking, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. Anyone here? Anyone here is good with theology? How about the handyman people here? Okay, they love repairing, okay? They're good with tubo, with martillo, with everything. Okay, or they're good with their cars, okay? Working on their cars. Our facilities manager here, Engineer Lloyd, is a mechanical engineer, okay? He can fix your stuff for you, okay? As long as you buy his lasagna, okay? Anyone who's good with mathematics, numbers, okay? Numbers, okay, very good, very good. All right. Science, anyone good with science? Okay, very good. Do you know that Tom is a physics graduate? Okay, he is a physicist, all right? And Mav right here is a graduate, right? Okay, no, I'm just kidding. No, seriously, Mav right here is an engineer, okay? Mav right here is an engineer. Pastor Ken is a nurse. Pastor JD is a psychologist. Yun lang po, okay? Now, why did I share that? Why did I share that? Okay? Now look. Look at this verse right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. I want you to think about your skills, not your seatmates' skills. Haven't you noticed that? A lot of times, you would observe that there are things that you're doing that you're good at and not other people are good at. Meaning to say, you're working on something and you feel like you can work on this efficiently, whereas other people are having a hard time working on that stuff. Okay, now I want you to think about your skills. I want you to think about your talents. I want you to think about your giftings for a while. Look at this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. It says here, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Okay? And His grace toward me was not in vain. All right? And it says here, on the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that was with me. What was Paul saying here? He was like saying, you know, people can say, hey, this is the age of grace. People will say, you know what, we'll just rely on top on the grace of God. But Paul was saying, I work hard than everybody else. What does it mean? Okay, and then he used one key word here, and that word is vain. Okay, what was Paul talking about? He was like saying, the grace of God in me was not in vain. What does it mean? Meaning to say, God's grace for you in the giftings and skills that He has deposited in your life should not be in vain. He starts saying, if I'm good at this, guess what? It is not in vain. I use it, not just that. I work hard to utilize that gifting more than everybody else. What's gonna happen if you will not use your skills? What's gonna happen is very simple. It's basically going to dissipate. You've heard of basketball players, you've heard of boxers who would go out there after 1 year of hiatus, they'll use one word. They'll say, I feel rusty. Okay, feeling ko kinakalawang ako. Why? Because the skills weren't used for a year. I want you to understand this. You're going to be like an expired medicine if you don't become a workmanship of God. If you refuse to become the workmanship of God, listen, God has deposited skills, talents in your life. Make sure that those grace in your life will not be in vain. In relation to that, I have two questions for everyone. Here's the first one. Are you utilizing and harnessing your giftings? How would you know if you're good at something if you're not going to do it? So the question here is, basing on the book of Ephesians, is this one. And the book of 1 Corinthians is, are you using your giftings? Or you're too shy sometimes in using your giftings? Do you folks realize that sometimes shyness is a false humility? And one of the ways at which, you know, the devil would operate in our lives is through fear, through doubt. And sometimes some of you here grew up with so many negative things spoken against you. You're not gonna amount to something. You're not gonna make it and stuff like that. But that doesn't mean you're not gonna use your giftings or utilize your giftings. Now, second question here is, if you are using your giftings, here's another important question. If you're using your giftings, which I would rather assume that, on what purpose are you harnessing or utilizing it? Let's say you're here, you're good with business. So on what purpose are you utilizing that gifting? Just for money? Accumulate money, money, money. Tell you what, if you're a Christian and that's your mindset, you're not reading your Bible. If you're here and you're good with public speaking, there are people who are like that, right? When they speak, everybody listens. You have friends who are like that? Now, in what sense or in what purpose are you using those giftings? I hope and pray you don't use those giftings to fool women. At the end of the day, these are very important things. You know, God is looking at the grace that He has deposited in you and is watching how you handle and steward and use it. That is why I'm telling you, even for people who are not talented, but because they keep stepping out in faith, you would see that they're actually growing in their faith. Why? Because with the little thing that they have in them, they are good stewards of it. I want us to understand this, friends. We are not saved by good works. That's a fact. That's true. As Christians, we're not saved by good works. But we are saved unto good works. We're saved unto good works. My point is very simple. As a Christian, as someone who's saved, as someone who's been a recipient of God's grace, mercy, and love, are we doing good works to reach out other people? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand." That's the second thing that I want to talk about. What's nice here is that we are God's workmanship. The Bible says not just that. The things that you ought to do has been prepared beforehand. So my point is, do not miss out on opportunities. The Holy Spirit will give you a nudge if this place right here is for you. My prayer is that you will not turn your back on God's assignment for you. This is not faith, F-A-T. I'm not talking about faith here. It's just that the good works were, you're going to channel God's blessing to other people, have already been prepared for you. If you ask me honestly, I have friends from church in Manila. It's just crazy. When they will just do their victory groups or small group discipleship, we call it victory group here in Victory. If their victory group will be at 6 p.m., they will have to leave their house at 3 in the afternoon. Now talk about commitment. I'm not talking about pastors. I'm talking about business people. I'm talking about employees. I'm talking about ordinary people like you and me. Why? Because they understand that, you know, there's something that they have to do. As a Christian, it is most likely impossible for you not to be kingdom-minded. Okay? Romans chapter 12, verse 4, it says here, "For us in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function." So it's very simple. For all of us here, we have different giftings. Right? Some of you are good with this one, you're good with this one. But the question here is, the Bible says, we have different function, but we are part of the same body. So many to say, we will accomplish the same goal. Right? I don't know if you've noticed this, but for example, when you start talking about churches, churches have different roles. Okay? If you've been with Victory long enough and you feel like God has grafted you in this ministry, you would notice one thing. Okay? You would notice that, you know, this ministry is serious about the next generation. Okay? And that is basically one of the good works that God has prepared for us to do. When it's Victory, it has to be what? Campus ministry, church planting, world missions. And that is basically what we do as a ministry. Now, the question there is, what is it that God has placed in your life? Okay, the grace that God has placed in your life. And it says here, the last one is the command, which is to what? To walk in them. To walk in them. In short, what God basically is telling us, or what Paul is basically telling us, is for us to do the good works that God has called us to do. Do the good works that God has called us to do. I want us to understand this. We are not saved by good works, but we are saved unto good works. And verses 4 to 9 talks about what? Good news. I want us to understand this. I want us to catch this. As a Christian, you don't just do good works without the good news. You just can't. You know why? Because that's going to be humanitarian work. What separates the church, what separates Christian is this one. When you do good works, it's always with strings attached. Huh? Akala ko no strings attached. I want you to get my point. The strings attached there is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we go out there. We feed people. We help people. But listen, that is a felt need. Stomach. But eventually, the greatest need of the people around us is the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing fulfills a soul. Nothing saves a spirit other than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to show you some, you know, photos of the things that we have been doing as a church. And I want us to understand this. If you've been with Victory long enough, I want you to understand that you are part of this. You are part of this, of the things that we're doing in the ministry. And I want to also take this opportunity to thank all of you for your generosity. You know, because of your generosity, we're able to reach the communities in the city. 2013, one of the first few things that we did when this church transitioned, you know what happened to Yolanda? We sent a team to Giwan. And, you know, we did medical missions. We had medical practitioners here. We had a doctor. They all went to Giwan a few days after Yolanda. start blessing that place, you know, just doing medical missions. And you know, this is good works right here. This is good works right here. If you realize, this is the first time that I basically share this. I mean, it's been like, how many years? 4 years. 2013. This is basically like the second time that I've shared this. The second one, some of the things that we're doing here is also bloodletting. You know, we have our own account with the Red Cross. That's why for Victory people, when you're in need of blood, we have an account with Red Cross, but we don't have a lot. That's why on our next bloodletting, you might want to donate blood. We have medical missions. We did several medical missions here in the city. We had a toy drive just last year, December 2016. Just last week, we went to, you know, one of the poorest barangays here in the city. And we did a feeding program, feeding and gift giving. Okay, we gathered communities, fed them, and gave them gifts. Last week, we had a special case, and you know, as a church, we are, you know, rallying for this one. We actually gathered some prostitutes. Of course, we needed to cover their faces. We gave them gifts, started ministering to them. But I want us to understand this. Yes, these are all good works. And listen, I'm not here to flaunt this. I'm here to tell you that you are part of this. I do understand the Bible says, you know, we don't let our left hand know what our right hand is doing. But we're not here to parade our accomplishment. We're here to tell you that this is what we should be doing as Christians. If one day you'll be gone, will people even notice? If one Sunday this church will be gone, abruptly, will someone even notice? Will the community notice? Listen, there's a score of people out there that needs to be reached by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one avenue is for us to do good works as we start preaching the gospel to them. Amen? God has worked for you. Now let Him work in you and through you.